And we got some things to talk to you about today. Welcome into the Monday, October 16th edition of The Lowdown. I'm Damian Barling, joined by the one and only, the icon, the main event, the showstopper, Jason H.W. Ross. Our producer, Chris Falad, there, you just heard. We thank you. We welcome you in if you're listening around. We got listeners now in Tennessee. That is 100% verified.
Nice.
Join our buddy Kevin in Arkansas. We got listeners in Connecticut, D.C. We listen, we thank, and we welcome everybody listening in on the radio.com app around the world, listening in on khdk.com, TuneIn app, wherever you are. You can download and listen to us here in Sacramento. You'll never miss a single minute of the show. We welcome in those listening on Sports 1140. AM in Northern California. I imagine all Northern California sports fans are in a pretty bad mood, unless, of course, you're a Warriors fan. Your season kicks off tomorrow. But if you're with the 49ers or the Raiders, not so much. We'll get to them. 72 Dolphins are popping bottles of champagne today. Mercury Morris is a happy individual. There are no more undefeated teams. There's one less winless team. There's a whole lot less undefeated teams in college football. Jay Ross, you nailed that. We'll talk about that. We'll have our best and worst of the weekend. It was an exciting start to the championship series in baseball as well. Colin Kaepernick is in the news, whether you like it or not. We're going to have to discuss that. And this is major news that almost certainly will mark his career has been over. This probably officially marks the end of Colin Kaepernick's playing career. We will talk about that and why the timing of him filing that grievance is so important. We'll get to the Raiders here in just a minute. It would be really difficult to start the day, to start our conversations with week six of the NFL season without noting you begged last week in your Friday Five for us to get through the weekend without a catastrophic injury. And I don't know. There's probably only one guy in the NFL that is more catastrophic than the injury we got yesterday. I assume that would be Tom Brady, but it's probably 1-1A. Aaron Rodgers cracked collarbone again. This time, instead of his left arm, which is where it was last time when he missed, I think, 7 or 8 weeks in the middle of the season, this is on his throwing shoulder. He hasn't officially been ruled out for the year, but you can do the math yourself and figure Aaron Rodgers is going to be out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and when you design your team around him, and I don't fault the Packers for doing that. I mean, he's their best player. You could argue if he's the best player in the NFL. I pick them every week basically because of him. And to have that injury, it was in Minnesota. It wasn't in Lambeau like when Derek Carr went down last year. We felt it. The fans felt it. He felt it. You just knew it was bigger than it's just an injury. Carr's out. They can replace him.
Yeah.
We knew they couldn't.
Yeah.
Brett Hundley was a nice college quarterback. I mean, I was a fan of his at UCLA. He's good. He's not Aaron Rodgers. And you just feel
they
like
they really like him, though. They like him a lot there.
And
when I say they, I mean the Green Bay Packers organization.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the fans. I'm talking about the whole group there. Because we've posed questions about when we've done our studies, our not-so-scientific studies on the backup quarterbacks in the NFL. One of the guys that we talked about was Brett Hundley, who seems to be liked by that coaching staff in Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, I think he is one of the better backups, but then you think, okay, some other teams, like even when Deshaun Watson got the call, we thought, well, it makes some sense. No one was totally in love with Tom Savage, but hey, maybe they can win some games anyway with their defense. Just don't screw it up. Well, now he's figured it out, and he's been great. Defense is maybe trying to catch up to their offense. I just don't know. I mean, Green Bay, to me, has a middle-of-the-pack defense. They're not a great running team. They've got good receivers, but I feel like the good receivers are made by Aaron Rodgers. And this one, when we started last week talking about the best one-loss team in the NFC, mm-hmm. I had a strong candidate for Green Bay because, Philly was doing good things, other teams at the time, but I just feel like this drops them down so significantly and maybe even removes them completely out of the picture of the playoffs even. But we'll see. I mean, Hundley will have some time to prep and get ready. But that was devastating.
This is not just for Green Bay, but this is a seismic shakeup, a seismic shift, as they say, in the NFL. Because this, if like you said, we didn't agree, but you saw the Packers as the best first-round one-loss team.
Yeah.
A lot of that conversation is, we were trying to have that conversation is, okay, is it different like now? Like, I feel like the Eagles are the best one-loss team in the league now. if we get to the playoffs and you're telling me, okay, we have these two teams, and I said it was the Packers, you said it was the Eagles, but now they're playing in a playoff game, or now they're playing in a, you know, in a decisive game that means something, are you willing to pick the Eagles over the Packers? And the answer would have been no.
Right.
Because of Aaron Rodgers. Well, that factor is gone now. So whether they get to the playoffs or not, and I think most people think it's going to be a lot closer to the not side than his side, this is massive for the entire, for half the league. This is major for the NFC because now it opens it back up to where you get into those positions. Now, you're playing for the division. If the Packers stay afloat, they're playing for the division against Minnesota or whoever there at the week 17. You don't have Aaron Rodgers anymore.
And Minnesota already got the win yesterday, so they got one leg up there.
And, good, yeah.
You know, in the game against your team, against the Dallas Cowboys 2 weeks ago, I don't know that Brett Hundley could have executed that. Rodgers,
sure.
I know, can.
No.
We've seen it. He's done it. You knew it was going to happen.
Yep.
Everybody knew it was going to happen.
Yep.
Brett Hundley, maybe. Maybe it would have happened, but you know Rodgers is capable, and that's where the difference is.
And that's the thing. Like, look at Jameis Winston.
Mm-hmm.
He had a chance to have that moment against the Patriots. Couldn't do it.
Right.
He's been in the league a couple of years. Jared Goff had that opportunity to have that moment that you're talking about against the Seattle Seahawks last week. Couldn't do it. So to think Brett Hundley's going to be able to walk out there and suddenly, oh, I'm Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
In fact, he knows he's not Aaron Rodgers. He's said as such yesterday. Here's Brett Hundley. That sounds like it's straight out of Varsity Blues, by the way. Like you're going all third person there in your first interview. And is it funny that his name is Brett?
Yeah.
That can't be right. It can't be lost that the dude's name is Brett. Here's Mike McCarthy talking about his quarterback situation. A lot of that was to quell the conversation of Colin Kaepernick, by the way. Because, you know, anytime a quarterback gets hurt, that name is going to come up. That's probably going to end right now, but before the story of Colin Kaepernick's grievance being filed broke, I'm sure that would have been a conversation or a question that would have been thrown Mike McCarthy's way.
Well, plus, I also think it's to show a sign of confidence in your backup.
Sure, absolutely.
Next man up. We always hear that. Okay, great. Well, this is a huge leap that Hundley's going to have to make to replace Aaron Rodgers. But, it's to show the internal confidence. We're going to be fine, even if you and I and every other media person or everyone in Lambeau and Green Bay area is like, they're done.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. Everybody can think that. They can't think that. They've got to go as business as usual, but it doesn't seem like it's usual.
Here's a little bit more from McCarthy on moving forward without Aaron Rodgers. It's one of the things that frustrates me about football because I don't think this happens in other sports. You don't really take time to mourn the loss of someone.
Not at all. I was thinking that.
And we heard this, you know, we hear it all the time. I just hate the, if you recall the T.O. Donovan McNabb beef, if you've ever listened to Terrell Owens talk and understood the impetus of that issue that arose between them, was when T.O. broke his leg and Donovan McNabb that day kind of went with the next, we'll be fine. And that really pissed T.O. off. And I can understand that because we don't take time to even just acknowledge, you know what? He's a really good player. He's a fantastic player. It's a huge loss for us. We're throwing the weight on these young, you know, receivers in the Eagles situation. We're throwing the weight onto these young receivers and we need them to step up. We need them to be, you know, 10 times better than they were last week. It's going to be real tough without T.O., but we're going to have to move forward without him.
Yeah.
The NFL takes the approach of, you know, again, Donovan McNabb, next man up.
Right.
Like, we don't even take time to just mourn the loss and acknowledge, man, these guys are great players for us. And you heard Mike McCarthy there, and Aaron Rodgers is one of those guys who he's going to get that level of respect. And there are very few guys, I think, in the league that are going to get that level of respect. But when you change positions and you get outside the quarterback position, there's no mourning. It's, hey, get the guy off the practice squad. And I can understand why football players are in the case of Terrell Owens, why he was frustrated with that. Like, you're just going to replace me? I'm a 100 reception guy. You're just going to replace me? You just go, oh, we'll be fine? I can understand how players get frustrated with that style of conversation.
And we've talked about it before, when guys in every sport really get injured, how they feel like they're the forgotten men, too. Not only not mourning them, but, I mean, Rodgers is clearly the face of that franchise. There's no mistaking that. He's one of the faces of the NFL. And then you go to, you know, there's the immediate reaction today and tomorrow, but then he's going to start going through recovery and almost be lost.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the focus will be on Hundley and what they're doing and trying to win games. And your face of your franchise isn't even – he's there, but not acknowledged. And that's mm-hmm. that's a weird transition for the actual athlete that's going through that.
So we'll transition. That's going to be the big story of the day. That's what you're going to hear so much about, is that Aaron Rodgers likely out for the rest of this NFL season. He joins J.J. Watt as star players. Who else did we lose last week? Look, I already forgot. We lost two stars last week. J.J. was one. Odell Beckham Jr. was the other. So this is just the first. I mean, we're not even halfway through the season. Just been absolutely brutal to the star power of the NFL. If you want to jump in here and be a part of the conversation, we would love to hear from you here at the text line, 44-1140. Text your thoughts in. You can connect with us on the phone lines as well, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. There is some breaking news coming in. Rick Pitino officially out as head coach at Louisville. No surprise there. It was a formality, but now that formality has been complete. The Board of Trustees has voted to out Rick Pitino. This was finally the straw that broke the camel's back for a guy who seems to be nothing short of a slime ball. But he's out. We'll cover that story. Again, it's one we knew. It's one we were expecting. It's one we were waiting for. He's been fired with just cause, and that was just made official right before the show started. Now, Raider fans, plug your ears. We're going to make the uncomfortable transition to talk about your team, a team that this is four straight, man. I guess I don't know at what point you just acknowledge you were wrong about the squad that you thought was going to be really good. Maybe I was wrong about the Raiders. Maybe I was too willing to look past their defensive flaws, and it was their secondary, again, that kicked their butt. Maybe it didn't kick their butt for 60 minutes, but when you look back at that final drive that the Chargers had, Jason, and they had 4 minutes from the kickoff, or the punt, or whatever it was, they had 4 minutes. They needed maybe two, and then they just started playing with the clock at that point. They took three snaps just to get the ball exactly where they wanted it to. They were in the exact position they wanted to be in to kick the field goal with over a minute left. Mm-hmm. It took them less than 3 minutes to get there. That secondary was just eaten up again. And I know it was a low-scoring game. It was 17-16. But that final, it wasn't that final 3 minutes. It just exposed them again.
Yeah, that wasn't their best moment. And I think what's getting frustrating for Raiders fans and the Raiders in general, besides the final drive, I think they played winning defense. I think they have been. And the point totals suggest that they have been. Offense isn't clicking again.
But they've lost four in a row, though.
Oh, it's all up for grabs now. Carr's not playing as well. I mean, he was back, so okay, he's the savior. Two picks, one touchdown. I know he's under 200.
21 of 30 for 171 yards.
Yeah, so it's the collective. I mean, defense, certainly the last drive was not good. But Lynch ran okay.
It's but okay. That's when you judge defenses, though, isn't it?
Isn't no, true.
In a close game, when you judge a defense, you have to judge it by that.
Yeah.
I think you said this last week. Why do – if you believe that they played so well for 56 minutes, you said this same exact thing last week. Why does it change so much on the last drive of the game? Why does the defense change so much? Why does the things that they were able to do for 56 minutes – suddenly, they're unable to do in the final four.
Yeah, it's not just the Raiders. A lot of teams across the NFL. But, yeah, certainly the Raiders yesterday. And now you get to the point where, you know, we noticed this a year ago. I mean, all the way back to when we were at Napa, we said, boy, there's kind of a nice confidence going around with this team. And then this year, we felt that same thing. But it's like, yeah, now we're not speculating whether we're good. We know we're good.
Yeah.
I feel like that's lost. You know, like everything is just – and that's what losing can do, and I don't think everything is all lost for the season, but it's tracking that way, and they've got to turn it quickly, and I don't know what the answer is. Coming home should have been. That hasn't been. Getting your quarterback back, that should have been. It's not happening.
The defense gave up 343 total yards, and again, that last 4 minutes, taking them 2.5, you know, 3 minutes to get into field goal range, just bad. That secondary. It was all long passes, all the way down the field. It was just Phillip Rivers doing what you know Phillip Rivers can do, just picking apart a secondary that, you know, despite how they played for 56 minutes, if you mess with them enough, they're gonna fall apart, and that's what they did. And the one thing that Raider fans can feel a little bit comfortable with, and we'll get to these games here. We'll get to both of them this hour. Somehow, the Broncos managed to lose. We told you to watch that Steelers-Chiefs game, and it was ugly. It was every bit as ugly as you've expected, as you'd expect two hard-nosed AFC teams to play, and the Chiefs lost. So that helps you just in that. But now suddenly you got the same record of a team who 3 weeks ago hadn't won a game.
Yeah, that actually, I mean, I guess it's all dependent on how you look at things. The way you laid it out makes it feel better, I guess, for the Raiders. But when Pittsburgh beat Kansas City and the Raiders ended up losing, I said, missed opportunity.
Yeah.
I know you stayed at the same gap, but you play them this week on Thursday. Had you won yesterday, you'd be closer. If you beat them Thursday, okay, I think everything is okay. But instead, you lost. They're coming off a loss. That's a team you've had trouble beating. You almost desperately need the win this week. I mean, they've just dug themselves. They certainly can recover because we get so caught up in what they are right now as a team that's 2-4. They could be an 11-5 team. I don't see it happening, but that can be something that still happens. 10-6, could that be good enough? But there's too many flaws going on right now, and they are not fixing those things that I thought would be better.
The NFL is the most now.
Yes, it is.
In terms of all sports.
Yeah.
Major League Baseball, so long. NHL, you're not even paying attention to yet. Same with basketball. But no one's paying attention to basketball. Some people start paying attention at Christmas. Some people start paying attention at the All-Star break. But there is no now sport where you're so reactionary to what is going on that Thursday, that Sunday, that Monday than the NFL. And you look at the Raiders, and absolutely, the Raiders could be just fine. But if I came to you and I said, Jason, the Raiders are going to be fine, and you said to me, why? I don't know what my answer would
be. And I think it's based on preseason, what we thought they would be, but maybe they're not that.
And that's the thing. You're starting to get a sample size of, okay, maybe, maybe not so much.
Yeah.
Like I told you, I think I've been able to explain why I think the Eagles are going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you why I think the Raiders are going to be better. I'm not even sure I think the Raiders are going to be better at
this
point.
They may not be.
There were people who were saying, you got the Raiders going too far. They're not that good. The Raiders are going to fall off pretty far from where they were last year. They're just not going to be able to win games like that. And my counter argument was that they're not going to be in games like that because they're a more seasoned offensive team. They're going to win games. And if they're giving up 20, it's because they're scoring 38.
Right.
I was fine with that line of thinking.
Yeah.
I was dead wrong on that.
Well, me too, because I thought, like, if we also said, what are they good at? I would say, before the season, they are going to be a special offense. This is going to be an offense with a line that's going to carry them. I like the additions at running back, even more weapons at receiver and tight end. This team is going to score 30-plus a game, and they'll be fine.
You want to get your boy? You want to get your boy on social media?
Who's that?
Kenneth Aloysius Rudolph.
Uh-oh.
He tweeted, and this is true, he did, I wonder if anyone predicted the Raiders were not ready to win yet. That's your boy, because that's what he's been riding with, that the Raiders weren't ready to win yet. And I don't know if that's they're not ready to win, because I don't think that's the case. They're just not good enough to win right now. You could say last year they weren't ready to win. Like, you could make that argument to me last year, which he did, feverishly. But not this year. Like, they're ready to win in terms of their mindset is ready to win.
Yeah.
The talent doesn't match the mindset this year. And we have no clue how last season would have ended with Derek Carr. And that sucks, because that hangs out there as like, okay, what would have happened? What would have happened in that Houston game? What would have happened in a potential matchup with the Patriots and that whole deal there? This year, they're just not good enough right now. And I don't – it's been a big drop-off. It's, you know, I'm picking on the defense. You've been acknowledged that the defense isn't that bad.
Not as bad as I thought it would be. Let's put it that way.
But Derek Carr hasn't been good.
No, he hasn't.
Derek Carr from last year hasn't been that Derek Carr from this year. And, of course, he misses the game. He's back this week. He's not – you got to wonder how healthy he is. He says he feels fine, but that's the type of thing Derek Carr's leg could be cut off.
Yeah.
He'd be like, no, what are you talking about? I didn't need two legs to throw the ball. I just needed my arm. Like, that's the type of guy that he is. That's the type of quarterback athlete he is. He's going to brush it off as being entirely insignificant. But the fact is, he's coming back from a back injury, and he only threw for 171 yards when he dropped back 30-plus times. Those aren't the numbers you're used to seeing from him. Let me rephrase that. It's not the numbers you're used to seeing him from the last 20-some-odd games.
Right. And last year, he threw 6 interceptions. He's already thrown 4, and he missed a game. Game and a half, basically. So he's not sharp. Line's not as strong, not as dominant as we thought it would be. Receivers still having the drop issues. Amari was a little better. I know he had the longer catch that got called back, but I think he had 28. I mean, that's not going to please anybody. Just nothing's quite right in Raiderland.
Text line 44-1140. The Raiders and Cowboys seem like the same team, except the Dallas offense is clicking, unlike the Raiders. That very well may be true. Hey, Ken, thanks for getting in nice and early. What do you got, man?
Hey, you know, I'm listening to you guys talk about the Raiders. A couple of things I think about Derek Carr. I don't know if it's me, but he appears to be a little gun-shy in the pocket. He appears to get happy feet. And as a result, he's getting rid of the ball almost as soon as he touches it. There's a couple of passes he threw yesterday for interceptions. He threw those simply because he didn't wait an extra 2-3 tenths of a second for the break so he can get the ball where the receiver was going. I think his happy feet is a problem. It appears he doesn't trust the offensive line. Offensively, they're not as good as their reputation. Last year, one of the best lines in pro football. This year, not playing by it. The running game you would have thought would have been better with Marshawn Lynch running behind that line, but it hasn't come to fruition. I believe that, the lack of trust now in Amari Cooper, and this team is an offensive team. So when you don't trust yourself offensively and the vibe comes from the offense blowing, I think it affects everything. We've known that the defense can't stop a nosebleed. And in the most serious time yesterday, as you put it, that last drive, it's almost like Phillip Rivers kept those plays in his pocket, so when I need these plays, they're going to be my go-to plays down the stretch. Those two throws he threw to the tight end to get, what, 50, 60 yards in a couple of plays? I mean, you waste what Marquette King does as a punter when you allow a team to move that ball so easily in that critical of a situation. So I think right now there's a lack of trust. There's a lack of trust in what the offense can do, and I don't believe they trust that in a given situation the defense can come up with a stop. And so until those things are adjusted and until somehow, some way, they get to where they can trust Amari Cooper again, I think this team is going to struggle because so much of their offensive identity is not only rooted in Derek Carr, it's also rooted in Amari Cooper being a big play receiver. So until they get that rectified, I think there's going to be a lack of trust in the offense. If the offense isn't clicking, it's going to affect the defense, and this team could be very mediocre. That's my two bits, guys. Thanks a lot.
We appreciate you, Ken. Thanks, my brother.
Yeah, it's interesting the way you put it. Like, Rivers was just hanging on to those couple of plays. Like, okay, I've tried this. Here's where I'm going to strike, and perfect timing.
He ran the two-minute drill with 4 minutes left, and the two-minute drill worked.
Yep.
Because they got where they needed to be in 2 minutes.
Yeah, and got the winning score.
I think Carr is more in the Stafford Cutler zone than elite. Yikes. Raider fans will have to get used to 10-6 some seasons, 6-10 others. It's doom and gloom on the text line, man. Like,
that's bad. What happens when, well, it's not one loss. It's several in a row here.
That's four, right?
Yeah.
Four straight.
And Kansas City looming.
Don't we have a promo? Remember when the Raiders were 2-0?
Yeah.
Might want to change that.
Well, they still were.
Well, they were. Indeed, they were.
Just reword it.
You could jump in here on the conversation, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We mentioned the Steelers and Chiefs. We'll touch on that. The Broncos as well. So there is some good stuff coming the Raiders' way in that you got some divisional losses. We'll touch on those and keep rolling along here with the NFL here on Sports 1140. You want to go from bad to worse for the Oakland Raiders, potentially from bad to worse? You play Thursday.
I know.
Against the Chiefs, who are coming off their first loss. You don't think they're combing over game film right now to figure out what went wrong with them against the Pittsburgh Steelers? By the way, this is the first time in 6 weeks that I'm really looking forward to the things we got right, things we got wrong segment. This might be the best week I've...
Did we tip the scales for a week?
For a week.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get used to it.
Yeah.
You know how they say we're gonna savor the win,
yes,
and we'll think about week seven
for
tomorrow.
24 hours.
Oh, we're gonna enjoy it today because we got some things right today. And spoiler alert: one of the things we got right, give the ball to Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah,
they did 32 times, and the Steelers were able to beat the Chiefs yesterday.
Yeah, that was a good one. You called that one, and
Mercury Morris is hype.
That's so silly. That stuff.
Do you think is that real or is that just fun? They don't do that.
That they did yesterday because 5-0 isn't. That's got to get to like 8 or 9 or 10, right?
Before By the way, didn't the Patriots win more games than they did?
Yeah, by definition, right? Didn't
they? I mean, they went 16-0 in the regular season.
18.
They went 18-0 before losing. But I guess somehow we have to tie in winning the Super Bowl. It has to be the whole complete picture, I guess.
I guess it'll happen someday. Maybe it won't. I don't know. I don't really get that.
I don't think it will.
Yeah, it's pretty. I mean, it's showing us each week. Because we make assessments and opinions on teams, and then it changes that fast. I mean, it really does. I mean, would you say at this moment, is Kansas City still the best team in the NFL? Or just because they lost, do we feel different? Because we would have said it last week.
I thought this was a tough, absolutely. I thought this was a tough matchup for them against the Steelers, which we talked about on Friday. Yeah, I still think they are.
Okay, well, that's good. That's not too drastic.
But. No, I still think that they are, but it sure makes me feel more confident about me, you know, wanting to crown the Eagles, the early, Super Bowl champions here. Now that, you know, everyone's on the same, everyone has the same amount of losses. I think it's just as difficult, and I think numbers show. It's just as hard to go 0-16 as it is to go 16-0.
Mm-hmm.
The 49ers are on their way, but they're competitive in every game, where the Browns aren't.
Yeah, and the Niners, would they set the record for the 5 straight losses by 3 points or less? I mean, that's showing you're competitive, you're in it, but you got to get results. And that's too bad, because actually I didn't think this was a game they would really be in.
Yeah.
To their credit, they were. They made a quarterback switch. And
especially in Washington.
Yeah.
Going that way, I didn't think they would be either. No running game, by the way. You talk about teams that just – quarterbacks that aren't getting any help. You can add the 49ers to that list. Carlos Hyde. I want to love Carlos Hyde. He was so dynamic at Ohio State. And he's had so many moments in the NFL where you're like, man, if the 49ers got that guy right there.
Consistently.
Oh, they would be – their quarterback, whoever the quarterback was, would be in a significantly better position.
Right.
But you don't get that from him.
Yeah. And Beathard, they threw him in there. I think Shanahan said they had to do it, felt good about it, had good weeks of practice, put him in, and sounds like he's going to be the guy going forward.
Kirk Cousins was good again, and he had to be, because another team that struggled with their running game, hello, Washington.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You know, we always talk about, leading into the season, we always talk about teams with backup quarterback issues, right, because the quarterback is the position where everything focuses, you know, we focus all our attention on it. But, man, how many teams right now are lacking running games?
Mm-hmm.
The list is really, really long.
And some of them don't even seem concerned about it. We're just going to throw it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're hurting there, so not a strength. I don't even care. Running back by committee, we'll run 2 or 3 different guys just to do it, just some, but we're throwing the ball.
I mean, how good do you feel? Again, things we got right, things we got wrong. We're going to get back to this at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. We'll do best and worst of the weekend at 1 o'clock. We'll talk baseball. We'll touch on just an incredibly busy weekend in sports that just wrapped up. How do you feel about your Adrian Peterson call? 26 carries, 134 yards. He had more yards in the first half with the Arizona Cardinals than he had in 4 weeks with the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just still a believer that he's got something left. Obviously, he showed it yesterday. Now it's about, for him, it's consistency. Can he do it? How many weeks? It was, I'm sure, exciting for him, exciting for them. And the offshoot of that, what I told you, I said I thought he could get over 85 yards, and you said if he does, they're going to win, and they did, and they looked different, didn't they?
Well,
what they would be with David Johnson.
2 weeks ago, last week, Carson Palmer, 50-year-old Carson Palmer, dropped back 50 times.
Right.
22 yesterday.
Perfect. Because they had a running game.
He was 18 of 22 with Adrian Peterson on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden you got these three old guys. Larry Fitzgerald had 134 yards yesterday.
Yeah.
It
was 2010.
These three senior citizens.
Yeah.
Only in Arizona.
Right.
This wouldn't work out.
Yeah.
Arizona or Florida. It wouldn't work anywhere else.
That's
for some reason, I even think Bruce Arians made a joke that he knows how to coach old guys. There it is.
Yeah.
He knows how to coach these old farts in Arizona.
Yeah, that was and it started early because he had a couple of nice runs, and then he had the, I think, 25-yard touchdown run. I went, oh, man. Well, what a great start for him. And then he added on, though. I mean, he didn't just stop there. He ended up getting over 100, so he had a really strong day.
27, to be exact. What was that from?
That's Wolfie. AP. Is that what he's saying?
I think he said AD.
AD all day.
Oh, that's bad. What are you doing?
CMU.
Can you do that to the G-Man on Wednesday night? Just jump in.
Dear Fox.
I'm sorry, Jason. What was that?
Nothing. I just cleared my throat.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The Giants won a game. How about that?
That's one I did not get right. I thought they'd be too injured, going to Denver's great defense. I thought it'd be low scoring.
Yeah.
How are the Giants going to find a way?
I tried to leave, and then we're trying to, you know, kind of steer ourselves back to where the Raiders can feel a little more, a little bit of relief in their awful loss to San Diego that, you know, the obviously other than, I'm sorry, Los Angeles, mm-hmm. north of San Diego. I'm going to get that. I've been doing that all year. At least the Broncos lost. At least the Chiefs lost. I tried to throw it out like, are the Giants bad enough to be 0-6? And I tried to just raise the question.
Yeah.
And we just came to the conclusion they don't have enough players.
That's like, what I was concerned about.
Are they signing practice squad guys to catch Eli Manning passes? Like, how are they doing this? And yet they go into Denver and are able to win.
In the end, you know what we need to do is listen to Nate Lundy more. Because he is not high on his Denver Broncos. He's like, they've just won home games. They're not very good. And I'm like, yeah, but they'll win this week. He's like, I'm not high on them.
He didn't like it. He didn't like the call that they'd win this week. And, you know, sometimes we're most pessimistic about the team that we root for and support. But he's pessimistic about the team that he sees week after week after week after week.
Yeah, he's got all the knowledge on him. But
Eli Manning threw for 128 yards.
And that was enough? That worked? That was enough? That was the whole game?
That was the whole.
Not a quarter?
Whole game, 11 of 19, 128 yards, and they were able to beat the Denver Broncos. Trevor Siemian threw for 376. Figure that out for me. Eli Manning, 128 yards, 23 points. Trevor Siemian dropped back 50 times, 376 yards, 10 points. Brocky Top came in and threw a couple of passes, too.
Yeah. Oh, boy. That's what, I mean,
you,
in one
you
sense.
You figure it out.
That's what makes the NFL great, because when you think you have it figured out, I mean, you don't. You never have it really figured out. Each week, it's its own chapter, its own book, and those numbers just don't even add up.
If you look at every statistical category, you would be
Denver
lost.
Wins easy.
You'd be completely lost. First downs, Denver had 20. New York had 12. Time of possession, New York had the ball a little bit longer. Third downs, just about even. Total net yards, 266 to 412. The one, turnovers.
That's usually the most important.
Zero for New York, three for Denver.
That's it. There's the stat.
And that was it right there. That is the reason they won the game. There's plenty more NFL to talk about. We're going to get into your New York Yankees being down 2-0 to the Astros. A thrilling win for the Dodgers last night. We'll touch on that. Do we need to revisit that the plate collision rule? Is the wording in that rule off? We'll do best and worst. You want to jump in here with yours? You can. 44-11-40. Patriots hang on to win. We'll talk about that more NFL as we continue here with the lowdown. We roll along here with this first hour of the lowdown. We thank you so much for being with us. You want to be a part of the conversation. We would love to hear from you. 916-339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Lots of text line stuff here. Lots of doom and gloom on the text line as well. 44-11-40. You could jump in. Overreaction. Raiders won't make the playoffs?
Yeah, slight. Mm. Slight. Mm. But I mean, if we have to pick one right now, I would say no, they will not make it.
That's tough. I don't know where to go with this.
I know they are capable of it. But, I mean, I think we can run into this. What's Pittsburgh? Last week's team that looked awful or this week's team that beat Kansas City?
Difference. Who's done it before and who hasn't? Pittsburgh's done it before. Like, if I told you right now.
But did the Raiders not do it last year, or are we need a larger?
Nah, still new.
Okay.
What was the term? New hotness.
Okay.
It's still new. The Steelers, they've like won.
They know how to do it.
So if I told you right now, obviously the Steelers got that win against Kansas City. If we were to make these predictions, let's say on Friday, one team is going to make the playoffs. Who would you predict to do it? The Steelers, based on what you've seen from them, or the Raiders, based on
the
what
Steelers.
You've seen. Right.
Yeah.
It's similar to the Aaron Rodgers argument, right?
Right.
Like, you know, old reliable is going to come there for you. You know that the Raiders are talented. They have talent on the team, but they're not reliable yet, and you just don't know what to do with them. You watch games that they win sometimes, and you're left scratching your head like, whoa. All right. Well, the win is – I feel like the Raiders wins it. Well, the win is a win. just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Not necessarily thrilled with it. It's just, they won. Okay, cool. Let's move along.
Yeah, I guess where I would have some hope, it would be that if I think of, you know, six teams are going to make it in the East, or excuse me, in the AFC. I don't see six teams talent-wise, maybe per se, better than them. But in the end, it doesn't matter if their record's not. I mean, you know, they may not be able to win the division. Can they get one of the two wild card spots? There's a lot of questionable teams in the AFC.
Yeah.
The further you go down. But the Raiders are one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where they are now.
I was happy to see the Ravens lose this week. That's all. It's always it's always fun when the Ravens lose.
Yeah.
Mitch better have my money.
What did he throw for? Barely over 100 also?
113.
What is going on?
He threw for 113
and
yards.
And they won.
And they won.
On the road.
Didn't turn the ball over. Completed 8 passes.
All right, Mitch.
He completed. Is Wayne Brady going to have to slap a Mitch? Completed 8 passes. Eight of 16. It's a win.
Yeah.
Hey, what did I just say? A win? Is a win.
It's true.
You just take it, you move along, and you be happy with it. They won that game on the strength of Jordan Howard, who had 36 carries.
That was smart.
Again, 36 carries, 167 yards. Joe Flacco. So, in contrast, Mitchell Trubisky dropped back 16 times, threw for 113 yards. The elite Joe Flacco dropped back 41 times, threw for 180 yards.
What is he doing? Throwing with the wrong hand?
Well, he's throwing it to the wrong team.
Oh, okay.
He threw 2 interceptions yesterday. Get your boy. Get your boy, Joe Flacco.
Not claiming any of those two, either of those two.
You're not claiming Mitch yet?
No. No. It's going to be a long run for them, but they made the right move. I'm more pro Trubisky than Glennon.
What's your favorite word?
Mitch. Why you gotta say it like short?
Mitch. Well, the Bears won. At least the Bears got their guy. They're 2-4. They're not going anywhere.
They know what they're doing. Right. They know what their plan is.
New York. Now let's segue over here to the Jets. They had an opportunity to win that game against the Patriots.
I thought they were going to, and I just go, wait, what's going on with the Jets? And they had that weird call too.
Right. And then I saw the still shot where the ball is loose. Man, that's a ballsy call to make in New York.
Yes.
Because it's not the referees. Again, don't forget, it's not the referees that make these calls anymore. It was ruled a touchdown, which means it immediately goes to the NFL offices for review. Man, it took some onions to not call that a touchdown, because you see the still shot with the ball loose. It's just floating in the air. He grabs it. I guess it's you're judging on where he grabs the ball back, but man, that took some onions to make that
sure
call, because it sure did look like a touchdown.
Yeah, and were they upset or like filing a report? I don't even know what they can do about that, but that's just
not another grievance.
Yeah,
are we going to have to cover 2 grievances this week?
I think the one will take precedence over everything, but
well,
yeah, I guess I'll compliment the Jets, because they have done far better than I thought they would. And maybe there's something more even about New England, that every week is close with them. They just can't shake anybody. But, the Jets, they have to feel like they were on the wrong end of that one.
Are you a Josh McCown believer?
No.
354 yards on his 47 dropbacks.
Okay.
No.
No.
All right.
You can have them.
I don't want them.
Okay.
I can't take them all, Jason.
All right, someone
come
else
on,
can
man.
Have them.
They're not all my boys.
Yeah.
Brady, you know, they were, again, down 14-0, scored 27, outscored them, 24-3 the rest of the way.
Right.
But I was around some Patriots fans yesterday, man, and they were a bit antsy there as that
game
was coming to
been.
A conclusion.
Stressing a bit?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Speaking of going on scoring runs, the Dolphins, Jay Cutler-led Dolphins, 20 straight. Against the Atlanta Falcons, beat them 20-17. Explain that to me, if you would, Mr. Ross.
You know, we've got a lot of things that are difficult to explain. That one also might be at the top of the list. The way that game was going, there was a play in the game where Cutler actually threw a pick. It would have been his second. They were already down the score, I think 20-7 or something like that, or 17-7. And he wasn't playing well. and it was a late hit called on Atlanta that kept the drive alive and negated the interception. And I thought that felt like the swing because it was, I think they're going to take him out. I felt like they were going to. They stayed with him.
Which you're begging for, by the way. You're
exactly.
Begging for it to happen.
And then I'll say, you know what? Good for them. They stayed in it. And then here's Matt Ryan at the end leading them on a drive. I said, well, good for Miami to come back, take the lead, but Matt Ryan's either going to tie it or win it. And then he threw a pick. So that game was really hard for me to understand because Atlanta has had a couple of home clunkers. They don't like playing the AFC East at home. Buffalo got them there, and Miami did.
Trap game.
Yeah.
They got the Patriots this week.
And what's Atlanta? You know, like some of the teams from last year that went far. Raiders, Atlanta, Dallas. You know,
I don't know.
New England even. I mean, they're winning some, but they're not dominant.
For a team that they said, well, I think the thing with the Patriots are, oh, they're dominant. This might be the best Patriot team we've ever seen. This team may very well be the one to go 19-0.
Right. Far from it.
All right.
Yeah. Simmer down.
Let's calm down. And I guess Brady's playing through a shoulder, if you will. Colin Kaepernick is filing a grievance against the NFL. I'm convinced he looked at the box scores of some of these games yesterday and saw Jay Cutler threw it for 151 yards. I think we've announced four or five different quarterbacks that have thrown for 100 yards, and he's looking at this like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, and we've already acknowledged that people are running less, so they're relying on the quarterback more and still getting those results.
Yeah, I think that's a great question that you just asked a minute ago. Who are the Atlanta Falcons? They're 3-2. It's not like they're, you know, they're not in the position of the Raiders because the Raiders are dead last in their division right now after losing to the Los Angeles Chargers. Maybe the Falcons benefit more than anybody else from Aaron Rodgers' injury.
Yeah,
because if we want, I mean, obviously, you know, they're obviously still very much competing for the division. But once you get into those playoff situations, they grab a wild card or they win the division, whatever it may be. Suddenly, that nemesis isn't there for them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I don't know who this team is. Maybe they're in. I speculated on this earlier in the year. We're not even halfway through the season. Maybe they're just trying to get through the regular season. They're on the revenge tour, right? They're thinking about, you know, what Clemson did and what all these other schools did. Let's just get through the regular season. Let's not end up with a Matt Ryan on the pub list, or let's not end up with Devontae Freeman out for the season or something like that. Let's just get through, and I think they just slept.
I guess, but I think about they are 3-2, and two of their wins are the one where Jordan Howard dropped the pass for the win. And then the Lions that we thought beat them but was called back, the 10-second, I mean, they could be 1-4. Their win is a great one. Their other one, a nice win against the Packers. But they could be 1-4.
That's nuts.
I mean, they're not, but they could be. I mean, they really could be.
That is nuts.
Yeah.
Best and worst of the weekend coming up here in just a few minutes. We got to touch on college football, man. You made a great call on Friday about there was a certain number of undefeated teams. We lost a whole bunch of them.
Yes, we did.
On Friday. And we lost the big ones on Friday. We'll talk about that. We'll get into baseball as well. Hour number two of the Lowdown coming up next.